Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, July 19th, 2021. Just a reminder that this meeting is our last meeting before the break, as we do not have any meetings in the month of August. And then we resume back in September. To begin with, as you know, this meeting is being recorded. And we do place the meeting audio on our website, which is wmata.com. just a few helpful tips for people joining via phone calls. As you know, you can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make some comments, you can virtually raise hands by pressing *9, and *9 will also lower your virtual hands. Everyone joining through the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon. It does say mute underneath, and you can mute or unmute yourself with that. If you would like to raise your virtual hands when you want to make some comments, if you go under reactions, you would see an icon for raise hand. Click on that once and it will raise your virtual hand. If you click on it again, it will lower your virtual hands. As you know, we do have the ASL interpreters with us on this call. I would request everyone to please state your name first before you make your comments. This helps them do their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone call knowing who's the speaker and everyone who listens to the audio afterwards. Dr. Posner, I see that you have your hand raised.
Yes. Not only am I present, but I also wanted to mention that the board has now rescheduled their July meeting to July 29th. And that's when they will have the full board meeting plus the subcommittee meetings. And that the RAC did not have a July meeting and they are having an August meeting instead. And so I'd like our folks to think if they'd like to have something in August. And that also includes staff, because that's extra work for new. And Mr. Blake coming up from Miami and Carol Lopez, et cetera, et cetera. But it's something that we should think about depending upon what the board does on July 29th and what the RAC does at their meeting the first week of August. And if there's anything anyone would like me to add to the letter of the board, my presentation on the 29th, send me an email by the Thursday of this week. Thank you. And I will lower my hand.
Okay, thank you. So continuing with the helpful tips, I would go ahead and read the agenda for today's meeting before I do the roll call. That will give us another minute or so in case any member has not had a chance to join yet. So before I read the agenda, I would share my screen for Mr. Blake. I see your hand is up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, just a couple of things. Before you read the agenda, please note that, and I was going to announce this, that we have to amend the agenda. So before you read it, let's read the amended, that the 455 item has to be replaced, because I really don't have no update on Abilities Ride anyway tonight, other than what they've already heard. But I need to give a preview of an appearance by the general manager at this Metro Access Subcommittee meeting coming up in September. So I'm going to use that time to talk about a letter the general manager received and preview his discussion. So that would be read in terms of the meeting agenda. And then I would ask at some point if Phil, before we decide to add a meeting or two or three in August, because there have plans already been made, I would like to get a little more background, if he could share, as to why didn't the RAC meet in July and what was the, and what is their purpose of meeting in August, and let that help inform our discussion as to whether or not the AAC needs an August meeting or not.
Like the board, the office of the board was understaffed during that period, and John didn't have a chance to get it set up, and so they thought they would just move it to August. And the same thing, the reason the board meeting is not until the 29th. And my feeling was, if anything happened, and you know, Miss Rush will always say, well, you sneak all this stuff in August. That should anything happen at those two meetings, I would think of just having one meeting, not three meetings, and, you know, a short one of maybe a half hour or an hour to address any of the issues that might not want to wait until September.
But then I won't be able to make my sneaky changes.
All right, so what I hear, this is going to be an amendment to the agenda. So I'll go ahead anew and go ahead with taking of attendance, and then we will move forward when I bring that up.
Okay. So I would, if you would bear with me for a quick moment, I would share my screen to show the agenda for those who can't see it, and I would be reading it out loud. Can everyone see my screen? Yes? Okay. So we will be going through the roll call of the committee members. As you just heard, there will be an amendment to the agenda and then approval of last month's meeting minutes, followed by customer service and outreach reports. We would have Michael Wilson Award. The Rush Award is being postponed until the in-person meetings. Afterwards, we will have Metro Access audio recording discussion, followed by Metro Access new navigation system update. The next item is Metro Access sedans update, child safety lock, and the 455 item agenda has been amended, as Mr. Blake just discussed, followed by Metro Access work plan. And that would follow public comments, and the meeting would adjourn at 6 p.m. That concludes the meeting agenda for today's meeting. At this point, I will stop sharing my screen. Okay, and now I will take the AAC members' attendance. So please confirm your presence. Elmer Ariza Silva. Darnese Bush.
Present.
Thank you. Chino Calabria.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coates.
Audio now unmuted.
Present.
Zoom meeting.
Thank you. Menu. Rico Dancy.
Zoom.
I do know that Rico is on the call with us. Deborah Fisher. Deborah had informed us that she will not be attending this meeting. We do
present,
have,
I'm here.
Rico, thank you. We do have our new member with us, Marcy Goldstein. She was just approved in last week's board meeting. So welcome, Marcy. Marcy, are you on this call with us? Okay, perhaps not. Melanie Henderson Jackson. Steve Kaplan.
Present.
Thank you.
Hi.
Thomas Mangrum. He is
present.
Thank you, Mr. Mangrum. Mr. Mangrum has just joined the AAC. He has membership representing the District of Columbia, was just approved last Thursday. So, Mr. Mangrum, thank you. Welcome.
Be in trouble now.
Philippa Gazelle. Anthony Oberg. Phil Posner.
Here.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Paul Summerford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan. Kelly Simona. Kelly actually is on maternity leave. So that concludes the roster for today's Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. Chair Summerford, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
So the first thing we're going to do is a review of last month's minutes and the agenda. So first we're going to do the agenda. We already heard that the agenda is amended by Mr. Blake with his topic. And is there any other amendments to this agenda? The only other amendment I'm going to make is when we talk about a work plan, we're going to do this. Everything's going to be done before Mr. Blake's presentations, because once he speaks after that, then if there's any public comments, we will take that and then go from there. And also I've come up with a tentative list. I'm sorry I didn't get it out to y'all, but I'll read the list to y'all of what I have and send it to Metro Access staff at some point this meetings. And all we're going to do is just add to it all of your input, because it's a living document. Having said that, that can change at any point over time throughout the year based on the needs of the Metro Access Subcommittee members on topics of high interest and urgent need. All those in favor of approving the amended agenda, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nays, abstentions. Oh, ayes. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Magnum, welcome. So the agenda is approved and amended. So next is going to be the minutes from last month for June. Are there any changes or any other things that need to be made to this agenda? Hearing the crickets, can I get a motion to move the minutes from last month in June 2021? As is. Oh, did I get someone to move the minutes as is from June?
So moved.
Okay, second.
Alert, audio now unmuted.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, Vanessa. All those to move last month's minute as is, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions, and the motion carries. Next, we're going to have customer. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Next, we're going to have customer service and outreach reports. Ms. Anderson and her team.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. At this time, we will have Kay Clark with MTM give the public comment report from our last session.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Good afternoon. My apologies, I'm having trouble with my camera. Regarding the AAC meeting held June 7th, there were no outstanding public comments to be addressed. After the subcommittee meeting held on June 21st, we did have one complaint to report. An AAC member stated that he had an experience with a Metro Rail station manager. The station manager used profanity toward him and insulted his intelligence when he had an issue with his card. Mr. Blake stated the complaint was received by the WMATA ADAP office and that more information was being gathered to identify the individual involved to address the issue. The AAC member will be contacted once the investigation is concluded. Along with the public comment, I will also provide the commendation received by the Metro X providers during the last month, and we did receive a total of 240. The individual count is as follows: Diamond 76, TransDev 59, MVOCC 36, First Transit 45, Challenger 23, and Old Dominion 1. And that concludes my report for this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. So are there any outreach, if there's any at this point?
No, sir, there's no specific outreach. We do continue to receive various reports come through our offices, of which we do act on those and resolve those as we receive them.
All right. right, so having said that, is there Michael Wilson winner or Russia already know that is on delay until whenever we meet in person this year. Is there a Michael Wilson recipient for this month?
Yes, sir, there is. So at this time, I'd like to present Mr. Kami Moody, who is the project manager with our contractor, MV Transportation.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm very happy to provide our nominee for the Michael Wilson Award recipient. This young lady has been with us for some time. Her name is Tierra Randall. She is on this call. Tierra, if you can wave so everyone can see you. Envy is happy to nominate Ms. Tierra Randall as its Michael Wilson Award nominee for July. Tierra joined our Envy family as a dispatcher in April 2015. She was promoted to quality assurance supervisor in May of 2017, her current role. Tierra is a wonderful, thoughtful, and zealous employee. Her positive attitude is infectious with all employees for whom she provides coaching and counseling regarding customer service infractions. She successfully managed the day-to-day oversight of our customer complaints. Her knack for investigating complaints thoroughly, succinctly makes her one of a kind. She has an unparalleled work ethic, always going the extra mile to ensure all complaints are answered timely. She is an invaluable part of our business success, not only within the complaint department, but overall in support of our Metro Access program. We are proud to announce her as Envy's July 2011 Michael Award recipient. And again, I thank you, Tierra, for all your service. And this is our committee. Anything you'd like to say?
Yes. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. You know, it's a big honor to receive this award. This will be my first award from being with Envy since 2015. You know, I love investigating complaints, doing the due diligence to provide a thorough investigation for our customers. And I'm just honored to receive this award. And I thank everyone so much. Thank you all.
Thank you, Tierra.
So, Mr. Semaphore, that concludes the Michael Wilson Award presentation. And again, congratulations, Tierra, for a job well done.
Thank you so much. And before we get to our audio discussion topic, I'd like to follow up from the AAC with, this is our last meeting between now and September, a motion where we discussed the possibility at some point this summer, I guess, to go make the decision, the Metro Board, as to whether there's going to be a flat fare on weekends and how that affects Metro Access. And from what we heard from the AAC meeting is, if that goes through, Metro Access fares should be at, whatever that flat rate is. So I would like to put a motion, put us on record, when that does happen, that for the days and times, there will be a flat fare on Metro Bus and Rail. Will that be, i.e. Saturdays and Sundays, and I believe possibly Fridays, but whatever those specific days are that happen to be, it will be reflected for the same as Metro Access, for the same equivalent fare. Can I get someone to move that, please?
Semaphore, I would like to add something to that and
sure.
Request that Metro Access give us the ridership numbers when that flat fare is effect, to see whether the flat fare results in a huge increase in ridership. And with that potential friendly amendment, I'll move the motion.
I'm open to that friendly amendment.
Second, Darnese.
Oh, thank you. Okay, discussion. Oh, also with that amendment, I do want to amend that to say not only to make those make sure that the fare calculator is also reflective of that flat fare.
This is Ms. Rush.
Yes, now we have discussion. Okay, go ahead, Ms. Rush.
I just have a question because the way you're I hear you. You're saying the flat fare, if it goes to $2, and I think that is the proposed amount, then the Metro Access fare will not be $2, but I thought it would be $4. So which one is it?
So it would be two times the fare as, per ADA. So do I need to change it to reflect that?
Yes, because you're saying it's going to be a flat fare of
$2. I'm sorry. So, because I know staff is looking at me right now. So
yeah, I am too.
So I would like to put us on record saying for the motion that when these fares take effect for buses and rail to their flat fare, that the Metro Access fares are equivalent to what the ADA is, which is two times whatever that fare is on the days and times that it occurs.
Mr. Summerford, I hate to correct you, but it's ADA is up to
12. Up to, okay. Fares. I take your friendly amendment.
And it also will require that there be free transfer for bus and rail. And once again, that is what the board approved at their special meeting.
Okay, I accept those friendly amendments.
I think we need to restate the whole thing because it's confusing now.
Okay.
Oh.
Phil, you want to take it away?
Can I state the amendment for you all just so we make sure we're all on the same page?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're the AAC, and again, this is like the last motion. You don't have to pass a motion, but we accept it and appreciate it. But the AAC is requesting that Metro and Metro Access staff confirm that upon the board instituting a flat fare for fixed route on the weekends or at any time, that the Metro Access fare per the Metro policy will be no more than twice that flat fare. And we will share with you ridership data so you can assess whether, in your opinion or not, the flat fare has an impact on Metro Access ridership or not. But according to the current proposal, so that's the motion. And according to the current proposal, as Ms. Rush stated, the fares on Saturday and Sunday on Metro Access for everybody will be $4.
That is perfect. I accept. Thank you for restating that. That I think that's what everyone agrees on. I see a guest 2 hand up. Can you identify yourself as it relates to this motion?
Yeah, this is Ansel Torres. I'd like to chime in here.
Oh, go ahead.
I think we're mistaken on 2 counts here. I think we are mistaken that we seem to feel or we seem to assume that because ADA law says that WMATA is permitted to charge $4 or twice the fare, that we almost seem as though that's what we are recommending. I would propose that we request a $2 fare. The law says that WMATA can also charge any bus rail rider $10, but they don't do that, do they? They don't. The other thing, I believe your motion is going to be null and void because you don't establish that you have a quorum, and the only quorum count that matters is at the AAC, which is where that kind of vote should be taking place. Because if you don't have a quorum, and since quorums are not an issue here, the only vote that you motion you can set forward is one that has a quorum, that is backed by a quorum. It can't be backed by nothing. So I'm not quite sure, and this is something you guys did earlier on. I was told that a vote will be would be taken later at an AAC meeting, and it was promised twice, and both times no vote took place at the AAC meeting that followed. That's my comment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. But if I can just clarify, if you heard and what would be in the record, I stated per WMATA fair policy. Now, if you want to follow Mr. Torres's request to lower the Metro Access fare, you know, my position has always been advocate for what you want. I can tell you at this time, staff will not be in support of that at this moment, and I doubt if the board will either. But if you want the flat fare of twice the fastest fixed route equivalent fare per current WMATA fare policy, that's how I stated it. So that motion would, in fact, be legal, if you will. And given that the subcommittees are committees of the whole, and we have more than half the members today, a motion to say to Metro to ensure that all passengers receive the flat fare according to Metro's fare policy would be in standing.
Can I say something, Darnese?
Go ahead. Hold on, one person at a time, because there's interpreters, one person at a time.
Yes, yes, ahead,
Darnese, then Phil. And then
we need to include Phil's up to. We don't have to worry about that amount of money.
That is
up to double
to the FTA that is financially sustainable and is flat. And that's what our recommendation is from the full AAC, and it has been submitted to the board in a letter to the board, as well as an oral presentation to the board. As far as the number, we know what the ADA requirements are, as does the board and Ms. Lee, their attorney. And so they will calculate a number. And since there will be a change in fare policy, that will require public hearings, at which point Mr. Torres can appear at the public hearing, as will we, as a committee and as individuals, and help them come up with a number. So thank you. I've spoken enough.
Okay, Mr. Torres, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes?
I'd like to make a comment.
All right.
As far as I know, the disabled community was never consulted on whatever flat fare you guys have recommended before and what you're recommending now. And unless you make a concerted attempt to find out what the disabled community wants, you should not be going forward and saying, we're speaking for the disabled community, but you have not spoken to the disabled community. That's one of the failings that I believe that you folks have at the AAC. You are essentially an echo chamber that listens. You listen to each other speak, and then you make it as though that's a consensus of the disabled community. That is not correct, because you will not be fulfilling your mission if you do that, because the bylaws don't say that you just listen to yourself speak and then tell the board, well, we have spoken, we the AAC have spoken among ourselves, and we're advancing this idea or this recommendation. You're supposed to tap into the disabled community, hear what they have to say, and reflect what the disabled community wants.
Mr. Torres,
you know, you keep phrasing this thing about per the law, per the law, per the law. The law, you know, I'm sure the people on the bus rail committee, you know, they go and they
community, and we reflect what we hear from the members of those groups, such as the blind groups, the hearing challenged groups.
You need to hear directly from the disabled community. If you're not doing that, you're not representing the disabled community.
Please be quiet until we accept the comment. Thank you.
Okay. I think, go ahead, Mr. Blake, and then we're going to vote on this.
I will tolerate no one shouting at me. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. So, I would say go ahead and vote, and I'll make a comment later. Please let's proceed with the vote, if you don't mind.
In the amendment as discussed and the changes recommended.
What was that, Ms. Bush? Repeat that again.
I second the amendment as restated.
Okay. All right. Without other conversation, let's put this up to a vote, please. All those in favor of this motion, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays? Abstentions? The motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we're going to move into the agenda with the audio recording. So, who wants to go with it, Miss?
I was going to ask you to begin. Well, we've set the policy, and I think Ms. Williams Hall can verify that we've again reiterated the policy. This is about the audio recording. So, no,
yeah, this is audio recording.
Yes, I wanted to ask you first because you had the test. So, can you give us your feedback, and then if you have any questions or concerns, we can address them. But you've had the test last week of the audio. If you want to share with us your thoughts.
So this time around, what was done was they pulled a sedan trip and they pulled a van trip of mine to listen to the conversation. And it was audible this time. And the reason for that, what was different was only the managers have an app where they're able to amplify and hear the conversation if they need to listen to it for, justified reasons. So we did that. We heard it. There was some little bit of background to it, but I can audibly hear the conversation back and forth with the driver. So they can use that information as needed for safety considerations.
I just want to clarify one thing, Mr. Blake, if you don't mind. This is Terry Williams Hall, Director for Metro Access. Mr. Semaphore, that app that we utilize, it's not restricted to managers. It just so happened that Terry had it on his desktop. So I just want to clarify that. It's not associated directly with the software that we use for the video and audio recording. He just happened to have that amplification app on his desktop. So we were able to use it so that it would produce better sound quality over Zoom.
All right. Any questions for committee members as it relates to this topic here? Nope. All right.
Very good.
Let us move on. Go ahead, Ms. Rush.
I really wanted to hear it, but Friday morning I had to go to therapy and I didn't know that you all were playing it. So you've heard it, but I still haven't heard it. So we'll have to make some kind of arrangements. I appreciate it if we would, so I could hear it, please.
I think that's a problem, correct, Ms. Williams Hall and Anu?
Not a problem at all. Just Anu, if you could just work with them to get it scheduled, we'd be happy to do it.
Okay.
I can, this is Anu, I can get that coordinated, Ms. Rush and Terry, and between everyone's schedule, we can work something out.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. All right, now we're gonna move on to our next topic on the agenda here. Let us do, we already did that. I want to do quickly, let's go do Ms. Williams Hall with the navigation update. Then I'm gonna sneak in the work plan discussion and then the afterward, we will talk about the two other pieces with Mr. Okay. Blake.
Thank you so much. So we're right now in the process of installing pilot devices in two vehicles for testing this week. Hopefully we'll have those installed within the next day or two. These are mobile devices where we will use Google Maps and off-the-shelf real-time traffic directional system to provide our trip directions. So Google Maps, most of us are familiar with, but it uses machine learning with various data sources, including aggregate location data, historical traffic patterns, local government data, real-time feedback from users to predict traffic conditions. So we're going to install that on tablets that you will see in two pilot vehicles. The drivers will utilize them to manually enter in the trip destinations, and then they'll follow those directions. We'll run that pilot until the end of the first week in August. Assuming that everything works well, We will then outfit the vehicles with these new tablets over the remainder of the summer. We hope to be finished with outfitting all of the vehicles by October.
So my first question before other committee members is, will this software using Google Maps, similar to Waze, be able to see like things like accidents and things and be able to help steer the driver and predict them to take another route as they're going from one destination to another?
It will, but I will, in full disclosure, tell you that Waze is a lot more adaptable than Google Maps because Waze is getting real-time end-user feedback regularly from other drivers. Google Maps incorporates it, but not in as friendly way as does Waze. Unfortunately, our IT department did not clear the Waze app for our use. That's why we had to resort to Google Maps.
Okay.
This is Thomas. I have a question.
Go ahead.
My question is this. Would it also be able to detect when the driver's going into a neighborhood where there's no welding to block the street from the river or whatever? Because like it had been times where I was on Metro Access and the GPS kept telling the driver to go ahead, go forward. And one time I was on Metro Access, driver did not cuss. He was not nervous about anything. He just kept driving forward. And I told the driver, if you want to see whether or not this is a submarine or could float on water, let me out first. And he said, I see the water. I just try to find a way to turn back around. And also another thing, y'all GPS system keeps trying to trick the drivers because y'all policy is for the drivers not to make any U-turns. But the GPS keep telling the driver to do that. Why?
So that's one of the reasons, sir, that we are moving away from that system. The GPS system that you're referring to, we disabled. I want to tell you, it's been almost 2 years since we took that off of our vehicles, at least a year and a half since we removed that from our vehicles. So right now, we just have directions without real-time traffic instructions. We're about to pilot using Google Maps. That's what I was just sharing. So starting in the next week or two, if you get a chance to ride on one of the two pilot vehicles, then you'll get to see and hear what it's like utilizing Google Maps. But Google Maps, I believe, is a little bit more modern and up to date with regard to those things. But all of that really does tie back to their mapping engine, whether it's been updated to reflect those kinds of streets. Because I certainly have heard horror stories about things like that, but we have to see. It's dependent upon the updates for Google Maps.
And so it will change it from the vans going into water, right? Going to the rivers and stuff, the ocean. I like like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we understand your concern.
Yes, we certainly think so, sir.
Okay.
Last question is, will this help also make the machine determine, because driver's asked us to place location on the right or the left, will it be able to do that? I always ask that question.
So I want to make sure that I'm following the question. In terms of street name, are you
I'm asking, like, when it gets to the final location, will it be able to tell the driver it's on the left hand or the right side of the street?
Yes.
Thank you. I don't use Google Maps. I use Waze. I'm not sure what it says. So thank
you. Like with Waze, it would tell you if the location is it's on the right or it's on the left.
That's correct. But now here's the thing.
And that's very helpful to the driver to know. That's all.
Yes, it is. And they need it. But now, so on a one-way street, if you're on the even side, let's say you're going up, the driver may have to let you out on the right side. He has to let you out on the right side of the vehicle. But he or she will know based on using Google Maps, from my experience, it will tell you which side of the street the destination is on. Yes.
because, you know, the driver has to let you out on the whatever side of the street, and that's not where your vehicle's at. Obviously, they have to escort you for safety reasons to make sure you do, you know, door to door, that is.
That is correct.
I see Mr. Torres and Mr. Posner's hands. Please go.
Dr. Posner's hand has been up for a while.
Oh, okay. So Dr. Posner and then Mr. Torres. Go ahead, Dr. Posner, as it relates to this topic. And I see Ms. Rush, too, is third. Go ahead, Dr. Posner. You can unmute yourself. Bill? Oh, okay. Go ahead, Phil.
Having used Google, what it will do along with Waves is it will pop up and say, you can save 10 minutes or 15 minutes if you do this. You can reject that. And the question I have for you and also for the contractors are the instructions to the drivers that you take the fastest route and you follow the directions when they tell you to save time by doing this, that, or the other thing, or that use the directions that are accurate or use your own discretion, because they will know. The other thing is Google Maps will tell you the right side of the street or the left side of the street, but when you're dealing with government buildings, large buildings in DC, like where Rush used to work, they won't necessarily tell you where the main entrance is or where you're supposed to go. And the rider, if they can see or have been there, can give some directions as to where the main entrance is. And so the question is, with the new navigation system, which is great, I mean, the Google Maps is very good, how much discretion will the drivers have, and what orders will the drivers be given as to how to respond to these instantaneous changes from Google Maps, and particularly in DC, because things change regularly as the president, vice president, ambassadors, et cetera, go through town.
So I'll answer that question this way. So first of all, they are limited with regard to their interaction with the device when the vehicle is in motion. So if it requires anything more than, I think the limitation is one or two taps on the device, if it's anything more than that to accept the updated directions, they won't be able to utilize it when the vehicle is in motion. The second thing I would add is that they still have access to the ranger. Now the ranger will have the specifics about which entrance to drop off the customer, provided the customer shared that information. The ranger will have that information there. So as long as that's available to them, the driver still will have those details there. And after the pilot is over, we're capturing a lot of feedback from the drivers in the pilot. When it's over, we'll probably then make some policy decisions about usage of the app and updating the directions based on the recommendations from Google Maps.
All right, thank you. Mr. Torres, followed by Ms. Rush.
Yes, just so that I make sure I understand what was being said correctly. I mean, this is starting to sound like we may either have escaped, we're in the process of escaping, we're hoping to escape the trapeze vice grip on Metro Access. Is that correct?
I may not use
this. I want to be clear, this has absolutely nothing to do with trapeze. So let's make that very clear. Anyone who wants to talk about trapeze, you feel free to do so. It's a public meeting. This has absolutely nothing to do with our contract with trapeze.
So the traffic or the GPS device that was removed a year ago, a year and a half ago, that Ms. Hall was talking about?
NREX.
Okay. Obviously, this is a little more complicated than I understood. So I will have some follow-up questions at a later time where I can get that clarification, because this is the first time I'm hearing about, you call it INREX?
Yes, sir. INREX was the application that we had before.
And how do you spell that?
I-N like Nancy, R-I-X like X-ray.
Oh, INREX.
Yes.
And the description of that would be what?
It's a real-time traffic application.
Real-time traffic application.
Yes.
Thank you much. That's my question.
Thank you. Ms. Rush, go ahead. You're next.
Okay. You already know problem destinations, like how to get from downtown to my house or to Ms. Bush's house, or you have places where you know there are problems. Are you going to use the new vehicles to go to those places and see if you can get there easier?
Yes, we definitely have identified some routes. We want to use the two vehicles on to pilot your address, the toll road, and there are some other locations where we're going to specifically target during the pilot so we can get feedback to let us know whether this is a viable solution.
Yeah, that was my question, because, you know, they haven't changed. They're still the same.
Yeah.
They need how to get there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Committed to figuring out how to get to those nice ritzy neighborhoods. Yes. They're not always on the maps.
Excuse me?
Right.
I couldn't hear you.
Just kidding. All right.
We need to move on. All right, because it's around 4:45. We got other things to discuss. All right, so next thing we're going to do is, we do every year because this is the last meeting. And again, this is going to be a living list, and I'm going off what I have last year. I've started to edit, and I'm going to reshare out to everyone at the end of this meeting and take feedback from people. As, of course, this is being recorded, is things we want to discuss in terms of our work plan. And our work plan is things we're going to want to discuss month to month over the next fiscal year, starting in September, since there's no August meeting. So as I go back, I know this, some of the things that I know we're going to want to discuss. And after I just read some of these 12 things, I want people to chime in as to what other things you want to see. So I know we've always wanted, or we had on our bucket list, to have an app sort of similar to bus and rail, where we can see real time when the van is coming, that type of deal. Like reiterate again, I get from Accessoride due to my my MTA Transit app, I can see when the paratransit vehicle is coming, when it's late, and all sorts of stats. So those are some of the ideal things I still put on the list, as we heard from Ms. Williams Hall, that with this whole update of the mapping system and everything, that's coming within the next 2 years once that's all in place, for those abilities to happen, with feedback from from us committee members and other members of the disabled community. Also, we would like to have discussions next year about abilities ride again, updates in terms of services and any other providers. Also, I put on the list, we haven't heard this year about Transport DC. I'm sure there'll be more information about it now that people are riding again. I also put on the list about the expanded Metro Access reservations window. It expanded out to 45 minutes instead of 30 minutes each way. That has been put on hold due to COVID. So whenever that returns, whether or not that's going to be expanded even more at some point. Updates on the Metro Access sedan, that's always ongoing. We did have a discussion this year on the Metro Access van seat configurations and the van itself, and hopefully we'll get an update in the next fiscal year as part of the work plan. As you know, the GPS system, we began to hear about that, and we'll be hearing more updates about that. The other thing I put on the list for next year is an update on the pre-arrival calls. I know that certain people, as part of this, still a pilot, that we've had people try it out. And we've had, even Mr. Blake has said, some mixed reviews. It's been good in most cases, but it does need some improvement in some ways. So we do need to get some updates about that for next year as part of our work plan. We'd like to get an update of Metro Access eligibility in this, in terms of its reopening, and if we're going to see something in this new COVID, you know, post-COVID or during this COVID procedure, when that will open, and how's that's going to look like for those who have to go through the process. Pedagogy Award discussion that's going to be on our plate. It starts at the AAC, but may end up on our plate. And also expansion of Metro Access service once the Silver Line project number two, phase two is complete, because there will be 6 stops total added, which will expand Metro Access service, 3 in Fairfax County, and of course, 3 in Loudoun County. And those 3 include the airport stop, because it's, you know, it is in Loudoun County, and the 2 Metro Access stops. And how does that look for service in terms? So at this point, I'm going to take from people any other topics they would like to add to this plan, this work plan.
Chair Somerford, this is Anu. Ms. Rush has her hand up, and then Dr. Posner.
Okay.
Ms. Rush, go ahead.
Ms. Rush, go ahead. What else would you like to add for next year's work plan? I'm sure you have something to say.
I didn't have my hand up.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
Then we have Dr. Posner and then Doris Ray.
Go ahead, Dr. Posner.
Yes, we always have fair policy on the table. And one of the things I would like us to look into is passes for Metro Access, and particularly as involves subscription trips, because we've already been told that we're trying to get scheduling done so that they're straight line trips without going in circles and retracing steps. And if people are doing subscriptions, it makes it much easier for the scheduling people on staff to put together a trip that starts in one place, goes to the furthest point, and stops in a straight line in between. And I think we should push for that, particularly since we have requested that the flat fare be a pilot. And even with flat fares on bus and rail, the board is talking about reducing the cost of passes for bus and rail. And I know RICO has wanted this for a long time, that we need to talk about other passes for Metro Access, but I think more reasonable, something for subscription trips, which really economically would be an advantage for Metro Access in their total cost. And then of course, do our always of following up with Abilities Ride as it expands not only along the Silver Line, but into the rest of Virginia.
Okay. Thank you.
My comments. Thank you.
Next, I see Doris Ray, followed by Ansel Torres, as it relates to our work plan topics that should be suggested to be added.
Okay, this is Doris. I would like to see also, kind of related to what Phil was just saying, and I second his idea. That I know that I have that we've had a motion to discuss restoration of the original service area, which included the jurisdictions, the entirety of the jurisdictions in the compact area. And I think it's appropriate as we approach the second phase of a Silver Line to do that, and because we've had some concerns expressed about people being left out because they're not grandfathering. So this is related to the grandfathering policy.
Okay.
For new people coming into the system who never even had a chance to have their say.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Torres, and then followed by Ms. Coles.
Yes, this is Ansel Torres. One of the saddest episodes we have had for this past term was Mr. Blake and WMATA, by extension, telling us as disabled people who participate in the AAC that you can say what you want, but you don't really matter. I believe AAC needs to begin to strategize and bring whatever moral heft, whatever political heft it deems itself to have, in order to ensure that when we say a 90 degree door, and we say it is a critical component of what we are requesting in a vehicle that, for God's sakes, WMATA asked us to tell them what we want, we need to be able to put some kind of energy behind insisting that on issues that are as critical and not marginal, that we ensure that we are actually heard and our wishes are carried out. Because WMATA only exists, this DAS only exists because we as disabled people exist. If there was no disabled, if there weren't disabled people, there would be no DAS. And after all, they are getting, WMATA as a whole is getting billions upon billions of dollars, not in money that they make, but money that is essentially given to them.
All right.
In order to serve the community. So, and those are taxpayers' dollars, and they need to adhere to our wishes as consumers. Thank you. That's what I would add.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Coles, followed by Mr. Steve Caffin. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Yes.
Things that you would like to see in the work plan that have already been mentioned.
Well, I'm not sure if it's been mentioned, but I wanted to know if we should continue to address the application process or the temporary, allowing people to use Metro Access even if they've been denied in the past. Is that something we want to extend? Or
so this is relates to eligibility. Certainly, I can put that on the work plan.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Caffin, what else would you like to add to the work plan as it relates to Metro Access?
I'd like to ask a question which may lead to a possible entry in the work plan. I was with a friend in Los Angeles who uses the Access services in Los Angeles. In the greater Los Angeles area, they cover about the same size of distance as we do here. And he mentioned a concern that had arisen several years ago that was dealt with and is much better. And that was the variability of service by the van operator. He mentioned in his specific case, there were some van operators didn't park directly in front of his home, and actually parked across the street, and others were just fine. And it turned out to be a training problem, that because of the shortness of staff, the shortness of staff of drivers, they were being put out into the field without the total amount of training. And I'm just asking that as a question.
So what I'm hearing from you, Mr. Caffin, is you're requesting as part of this work plan is a review of what the door-to-door policy should be. Is that correct? Because
yes,
that involves all those aspects.
Right. And Paul,
Metro Access customers.
Thank you, Paul. And I'm asking it more of a question because I'm not sure if it's an issue. It was an issue, in another city for some time. It may not at all be an issue here. And it related to what was the variability of service being performed by the individual operators that had to do with putting people who didn't get full amount of training in service. This may not at all be an issue here.
But I will say, as I look at the director, Mr. Blake, unless I've seen specific customers come here, generally the door-to-door policy for the most part has been followed. There may be a few outliers, but usually those are addressed immediately. So I will put it on the work plan, but go ahead, Mr. Blake.
No, Sam, I concur with your assessment. What may be a widespread issue in another service area does not appear to be a widespread issue. And when we do have those cases, we handle them. Yes, we handle them on a case-by-case basis. And believe me, our quality assurance contractor, MTM, spots them and reports them. And there are pictures and everything else to go along with them. So it can certainly be something we can report on or discuss if you believe it, but we don't believe it to be a widespread problem in this region.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sheehan, what else would you like to add to our work that hasn't been already added? Because I know you have something to add.
Well, you know, I want to mention a couple of things, Paul. I apologize for being late. I was pulled in another couple of
things. Okay. Because I've already mentioned 12 things, but I'm sure you may repeat some of them. But go right ahead,
Mr. I may. Sheehan. Thank you, sir. Three things. One is real-time information.
That
is,
yep, I already mentioned that.
Good. All right, sir. One for one. Resources. I was driving with last week with someone indicated that WMATA is using contract resources from other companies outside the Washington, D.C. area, because the current resources that we have for drivers is short. So it's probably an important thing to track that and see where we are with respect to resources that are not contracted from outside WMATA, but are resources that we have in the city here.
Okay.
So that would be the second one. And the third one, I know we've talked about before and I should know the answers, but I don't. Folks with permanent disabilities, maybe we want to take a look at that. Me being visually impaired, it's not going to improve or change or whatever. Perhaps we can look at the rationality of I have to come in and get a doctor's certificate, this and that and the other. Why? I'm not sure.
So with that, I do know, like in other cities, they have those. Well, we have a process sort of eligibility right now. Because those, and it's, based on what the doctor writes, when if that person becomes eligible and they're functioning, to not be able to use bus and rail every 5 years for folks like that. We could look about,
take a look at it.
With the eligibility team, they can give feedback along with Metro Access staff.
And maybe see where we are. Yeah, we'll see where we are with other, where it lines up with other transit agencies in the United States. It was one of the things that was coming up. There's all kinds of rules. We do it this way. Someone else does it that way. We compare. I'm not sure that we're going to change, but at least we could take a look at that on the work plan downstream. Not one of the top priorities. I'm sure you've hit the other ones.
All right. I'm looking at the Bill and Doris have already. So I'm going to take Darnese first. Bill, please make it brief. Doris, make it brief. We got two more big topics to cover and any customer comments, and we need to move on. So go ahead, Darnese, you're first. Bill, you're next. Doris, your last word, and we must move on to these other two big topics.
I only have one recommendation. I know we're not doing the shared ride right now, but I'd like to know about the shared ride scheduling process sometime, because I know that's coming back.
Okay, we can certainly put that down the work plan, because it will be probably, as it gets closer, whenever that date becomes shared rides, it will be a discussion.
thank you.
So Dr. Posner, go next, please, briefly, and Doris, briefly, and then we have to move on with these last two big topics and any other customer comments that are already out there.
Yes, I'm into what Darnese just said about the shared rides, to explain to Steve Caffin that LA was the first system that appealed to the FTA to get flat fares. And that's something that we should pay attention to, because they were able to get a flat fare because they had such a large area and so many different servers. And they went to that. As far as eligibility, we've done that many times. And it's been explained that the reason for checking in is to make sure you're still alive. And depending upon the eligibility, if it is permanent, such as vision or deafness or what have you, it's usually done in-house as administrator. If it's something that does change or areas change, then it can require confirmation by a physician, but that's gone down quite a bit. So just to, you know, confirm those sorts of things on what those requests were. And I would suggest that we stay as far away from door to door as possible and let that come up during the regular discussion of the handbook. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Paul, you know how many hours we have spent on door to door and we're whatever. Let's just put that, as we say, in the parking lot.
Okay. Ms. Ray, go ahead briefly before we hit these last two topics. We have to hit any customer comments because it's the last meeting.
Right. The thing that I wanted to bring up, maybe this is in the context of Abilities Ride and re-implementing it, or I don't know whether it would be separate, is, but as it relates to bring up Mobility's Ride, especially in, you know what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah, okay.
In at least in Virginia, if not other places, is the fact that we're using taxi companies like Dominion, and they are right now having severe shortages of drivers at certain times during the day, on the weekends, and in the evening. I'm not talking about the middle of the night, but I am definitely talking about in the evening, and it's happening right now. So drivers are usually only out in kind of normal business hours, I was told by. So I think the impact on Abilities Ride needs to be looked at.
Thank you. All right.
And that's COVID related. Yeah.
So thank you so much for all your feedback. Again, the work plan is a living, breathing document. This is not it. If you do come up with other topics during the year that are pressing that needs to be addressed to be added to it, we can certainly add it to it at any Metro Access meeting. Thank you. Next on the topic list we have here is the agenda is to discuss the Metro Access vans with the child safety lock. And I'm going to let Ms. Williams-Hall lead that first, because I know she's going to impart some information, then I will, and then we'll take it from there.
Sure. So just as an update, we took all of the feedback that was given to us in the last meeting very, very, very seriously. And we sent out a mandate to touch, personally examine each one of our sedans in the fleet. All of our service delivery providers confirmed that every sedan had been verified that the child safety lock had been removed. We even sent a video along with written instructions on how to remove those child safety locks. So we are quite confident that our riders should not experience having those child safety locks engaged. Now, just for clarity, that's very different from the lock that automatically engages once the vehicle is in motion. But once that vehicle is put back in park, that lock should be removed and all drivers should be able to utilize all of the doors. So, Mr. Summerford, I know when we spoke on Friday that you mentioned that there had been an occasion and I was waiting for you to give me the vehicle information, but I don't think I received it. If you still have that and can share it with me, I look forward to it. But we're pretty confident that that's a non-issue.
Yeah, because what between that meeting, I will say the last AAC meeting, after whatever y'all did, like you just mentioned, significantly dropped. It's like once the vehicle is in park, the door does open. There's only like maybe a handful where it's still locked and they have to come out and do it. But I will start identifying those few and we'll find out the reason.
Thank you so much for that.
Any questions from any committee members as it relates to this topic?
I see no hands up.
All right. So now we're going to move with Mr. Blake into this next topic that he is inserted.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So generally speaking, whenever the general manager comes to the AAC, it's usually at the full AAC committee meeting. But in September of 2021, the general manager is going to participate in the Metro Access Subcommittee. And he's gonna be here to address five specific topics that were raised by a consumer. And when I read them, I think we all know who they are, but he can surely share. But the general manager received a letter from a customer. Customer requested a meeting, but the general manager thinks when people raise serious and specific issues, that it's best to address them publicly to the entire committee so that the messaging from the general manager to the committee and then to the broader disability community can be taken place all at one time. So what he's asked me to do tonight is just brief you all on the topics that he's going to talk about in September. So real quick, let me go through them and I'll give you our position, how he addresses it, probably be a little more politically correct and articulate than I am, but that's okay. But we're gonna address the issues and here are the issues. So one, the consumer said the fare calculator has been overcharging WMATA disabled Metro Access riders since possibly as far back as 2012. So the general manager is gonna address this issue. And the basic facts, let's start with the facts. The fare calculator has only been around since 2014, I believe, or late 2013. The fare calculator does not calculate fares. What the fare calculator can do is provide you a discount. So the general manager is going to present data and show what we're doing and we're moving forward. And he's going to show the impact of the fare calculator on Metro Access transit fares. And again, reiterating from a discussion we had earlier, the Metro fare policy for paratransit is twice the fastest fixed route equivalent fare. Yes, the law says up to, but we're not talking about the law, we're talking about the official Metro fare policy. And it's twice the fastest fixed route equivalent fare. And in some cases, the fare calculator, frankly, in a lot of cases, has actually reduced the fare that a customer has paid over time. Now, if the argument is that the fare calculator has not perfectly worked and found the lowest fare in every case, I don't think I'm gonna certainly argue against that. But the notion that the fare calculator itself has caused people to be overcharged over the years, we don't agree with that notion. We've talked about it a lot. But the general manager is going to go into more details with some data that we'll present to the committee to show us where we're moving forward with this, with our current fare policy, including having a flat fare of twice the fastest fixed route equivalent fare per our policy, if and when the board implements that fare, that flat fare. The second issue raised by the customer was the refusal by the Department of Access Services to give a clear and precise answer on the release of the Results 1 accessibility report. This is the study with the consultants that we had two special meetings here with the AAC and then the introduction when they first came on board. They work for Metro. And I said, I will release a report once I'm finished utilizing their report for a possible solicitation. Now, if that's not in keeping with the timeline of some people, well, we're sorry, but that's the notion.
using this as an example, though, again, and we're going to segue into the next sentence comment. Metro appreciates and values the feedback of people with disabilities on the AEC as well as the general public. We take your information and then we utilize them in our business plan. I'm running a business when I'm running Metro Access. It's a bottom line business, but it's a business that reaches a bottom line through compassion and accommodation. But the committee is not running the business. The members of the public is not running the business. You give us your feedback and we're going to use most of it, but I'm certainly not going to be here to state that we're going to use 100% of it. That's not a possible statement for me to make or promise. And I've offered members of the public, at least one member of the public, who is very anxious to, I guess, critique their report, but to be more positive and following the example of Anthony Oldberg, following the example of, that's one member on the committee, following the example of a Barbara Millville, not on the committee, I've offered a member of the public the opportunity to write their own accessibility, digital accessibility report of Metro's website and other resources. And we would treat their report just like we've treated the Anthony Oldberg report, and how we're going to treat this report from Results One, meaning we'll take that information, it will be shared with the board of directors, and we may perhaps have to use it for a competitive solicitation to implement some of the improvements that the individual would recommend. The third thing that was raised that the general manager is going to address is that the AAC is becoming an echo chamber and refusing to answer questions on issues of concern to the disabled WMATA customer. Now this one, this is where probably the GM and I, you know, part in terms of our political correctness. Because quite frankly, I just find the idea that the AAC is an echo chamber is laughable. Now, I want to just go to Thomas Mangrum. I remember my very first committee activity when I came to WMATA was on a Saturday at a library, I believe in Southeast. Thomas Mangrum was the first person with a disability in terms of public transit discussion that I ever met here. And now we come all these years later, and now he's joining the AEC, but he's been in meetings. I know Thomas goes to many different meetings involving people with disabilities and transportation. I know Doris Ray does, because how Doris always says, she's late most of the time to our meetings because she's just coming from another one. And we can go on and on. The idea that Tino Calabia is echo chamber of anybody with Metro staff, I mean, I don't know anybody at Metro who's been advocating for the accordion cars, but he has consistently advocated for that, has been pushing it. So I don't want to spend too much time. The idea that the AAC is an echo chamber to me is laughable. And I would say to anyone, public or members of the committee, if you feel that the committee is not getting your specific message out. Oh, and by the way, Darnese Bush, I mean, I see her up there. I think she was part of a lawsuit. So I know she's not an echo chamber for nobody. So again, that's just laughable. And that's just me being unpolitically correct. But I know the general manager would be a little more kinder than that. But my point to anyone, let's turn this from a negative to a positive. What we've done is say to anyone, if you believe that the AAC is not being forceful enough, maybe they want to hear more fighting it. I don't know. But if you don't believe the AAC is being forceful enough, if you don't believe the AAC is getting their message out strong enough, or the AAC is not listening to the people with disability community enough, anybody who wishes to write testimony, your testimony will be completely unredacted. So it won't look like the Mueller report. It'll be everything you say along with your name, address, phone number, and it goes right to the board. So my attitude would be anybody who wants to use negative energy to criticize, turn that negative energy, be positive, submit your writing, and it goes to the board along with everything else on the AAC. And who knows, a board member may say, hey, this person is much more detailed, focused. I'm gonna read that before I even read the minutes. You never know. But the idea that we just got to keep coming to this meeting, criticizing individuals, you know, these are your meeting, you know, I've been staying back, but I don't think it's a great use of time. And for anyone who would take the time to write that, they could have been using that time to write some constructive criticism about Metro that would go right to the board, and you won't have to worry about whether the AEC is an echo chamber or not. The fourth issue that was raised to the general manager that he's gonna bring up is that disabled customers being charged. So this is the Metro Access customers having their fares collected before they get on the vehicle. Now, we've talked about this, and no policy is permanent. If the AAC, we were just talking about the AAC's work plan for this upcoming fiscal year. If the AAC wants to put this on and we look at it, I'm not going to say right off the bat, oh, we'll change the policy, but we certainly can discuss it and discuss potential impacts. Because let's say, just for one thing I could just think of, let's say you're the next customer to be picked up. Customer gets on board the vehicle, didn't pay the fare at the corner because we've changed the policy. But we get on the vehicle, the customer refuses to pay the fare. Now the driver has to call the OCC, has to wait for a road supervisor, and your trip is the next one, and your trip is late. Well, guess what? I probably won't give you a late trip credit for that. How would you feel about that? Because it wasn't us who caused it to be late. It wasn't our ineptitude. It was because a customer refused to pay and we couldn't move the vehicle. These are just some things to think about. I'm certainly open to discussing a policy change of where Metro collects the fare. I'm still an advocate that you should collect the fare at the door, but if you're already at the corner, I support that. However, and Mr. Torres, please lower your hand. This is not for discussion tonight. We're moving on. I'm just giving a preview of the topics. So we're not gonna have a debate tonight. We'll follow up in September on these. I'm not debating these issues tonight. I'm just sharing with the general manager received and what he's going to talk about going forward. But to the committee, and to everybody, if you want to discuss a possible change in the policy as to where fares are collected, I'm open to such a discussion, and let's see if a change is absolutely necessary, or just even if it's not absolutely necessary, if it's beneficial or needed. So that's the fourth topic the general manager is going to talk about. And then finally, the general manager wrote that very small sedans that cater to some disabilities, but not all inclusive to other disabled people, that WMATA asked for community feedback and then quote unquote rejected recommendations. Again, this is about buying the sedans. We bought Toyota Camrys instead of Honda Accords. As I said, we're moving forward. This is again a case that we've talked about a lot. But, you know, there is no vehicle that's a perfect vehicle. And we're going to have now a multi-vehicle fleet. If the argument is Metro Access should only buy vehicles that 100% of the passengers can fit in, well, that's a fair argument. You should advocate for that if that's what you believe. I'll tell you this, the prior management did that in the purchase of the Ford Transits. Everybody, just about every Metro Access customer can fit in a Ford Transit. They may not fit comfortably, may not like it, and you all had a lot of complaints and concerns about it, and rightfully so. But the idea that we're going to find one vehicle that's perfect for everybody, well, that was the Ford Transit. But we're not looking for that ideal anymore. We're going to have a multi-vehicle fleet, and we're going to try to give customer rider choice. And each day I look at the list of all the trips, they just sent me the trips today, and each and every day more and more customers are saying, as they become aware of the sedans, please just put me on a sedan. I just want to ride in a sedan. And that's what I expected to happen. And we haven't even started marketing vehicle choice yet. The idea that we could have fit every customer in a Honda Accord is simply a false narrative. If the concern is that the AAC and the people with disabilities community at large gave us a recommendation and we didn't follow it, that's a fair concern. But I'm going to say again, we cannot promise to give you every recommendation that is made. I can make this promise that every recommendation of the AAC and the disability community at large will be taken fully under consideration. And I can promise you that most, but not all recommendations will eventually be implemented. We're gonna be buying some more sedans this year, 50 in fact. They may be Toyota Camrys, they may be Honda Accords, they may be a Tesla, I don't know.
But we're going to be buying more sedans, and we're going to, when we have a outline of it, but no matter what sedan we purchase this year, it will not accommodate 100% of the Metro Access customers, nor are we promising that. So if it's the ideal of having only one vehicle that fits all, please advocate for that and we'll listen to you. If the ideal is that you should get a vehicle that fits 99% if you can instead of 75, that's fair too. But I do find it ironic, and I'll close on this, because these are the things the general manager is going to talk about in September at this meeting. I think, again, the first time a general manager is going to come to a subcommittee meeting. So you should feel honored, Paul. I will say this. I do find it ironic when I look through people's trip history, because I have all the data, that when the logo on the side of the vehicle has a U or a Y or some other private company, they were riding with no problem. When the logo became a Metro M, all of a sudden they couldn't fit, the car shrunk. You know, I take all that with a grain of salt. I understand that some people felt very passionate about all of the recommendations. And if you don't get all of them, you're upset. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If you let your feelings be hurt and be upset and anger for an extended period of time because Metro doesn't accept and implement 100% of your recommendations, then unfortunately, you're always going to have a lot of anxiety, because Metro cannot promise to implement 100% of what is recommended to us for a variety of reasons. But these are the issues that will be brought up by the general manager. I just wanted to give a quick preview of them. We can take some calls. I mean, some calls like I'm on the radio. We can take some questions, but we only have 3 minutes, and I just didn't want to take up the rest of the time. But that's what we were going to talk about, Mr. Semelfort, at the September Metro Access Subcommittee meeting.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Blake, just for the benefit of our new members who haven't had orientation yet, I'd like to preview for them that we are an advisory committee.
Advisory
subcommittees that do a lot of the work of the main committee. And our job is, one, to listen to each other, two, to listen to all of the public that comes to our meetings. And in addition to that, the reason we're on the committee is we are very active in the disability community, either through Access for All, either through the ARC, either through the MS Society, the Heart Association, the Blind Association, the Low Vision Association, et cetera, et cetera. And based upon all of that input and the discussion that we have, including customer input, we will give our advice as to what should be done. And I can point out that when we give our advice, the board generally discusses it and then goes to staff and asks staff's advice. And during our discussion, we often have input from staff because we are a team. We also take the policy of not to just complain, but to come up with solutions. And the other point is not to let the perfect stand in the way of the good. Because sometimes you get something that's good, and it may be good for a lot of people, but not for everyone. So that's sort of a preview of what I will say to our new members at their orientation. Also, if we like, I can show you some of the discussion that we have had in the past about some of the issues that have been brought up, and they have been intense discussions. Particularly about where the fares are paid.
And I will say on this, Phil, that I will add to the work plan that discussion about where the fares are paid. That's fair. So I will add that to the work plan.
It was a long discussion. It extended over numerous meetings. It had input from the public present at the meeting, as well as input from the public at the various organizations that we are exposed to. And the agreement of the committee in the final recommendation was collection prior to entering the vehicle. So just wanted to point that out, and I won't use any more of the 3 minutes. but thank you very much. I sound like an echo chamber. I'm echoing the truth. And what has actually happened over the multi years that I have been exposed to this committee.
So I see Thomas's hand. You go first and then followed by Denise Rush as it relates to the discussion. If you have questions for Mr. Blake.
For Mr. Blake, I do need you to call me about the matter that we were talking about before. And Donnie Bush, I need you to call me also. So I don't have your numbers, so I had to use this time to get reach y'all. I'm sorry.
Thank you. No problem. Get with the new, and she will help facilitate that process with you. Thank you, Mr. Mangle. Ms. Rush, go ahead. You can unmute yourself. Did you have a question?
No, I guess I have a public comment.
Okay, I'll add you to public comment. And Mr. Torres, can I add you to public comment also if you're not already on there?
That's fine.
All right, I will add you to public comment. All right, so the news is making aware there's other people for public comment. I guess I will go into that right now. Anu, who do you have, plus the people that we have already? If you can keep track of that for me.
I know
that there'll be Ms. Rush, Mr. Torres, and whoever else you have on your list.
Chair, actually, I have no other public comments. No email was received. No phone call messages were received.
Okay, I guess I will go for public comment for 3 minutes. Go ahead. Hold on. I see Barbara Melvin. I will take her first because I have not heard from her.
Hey, folks, this is Barbara.
You go ahead, Barbara.
Thank you. I wanted to say, Paul, you run an excellent meeting. But my point is, I had to make a trip to Detroit rather last minute, last month. And I want to share just a little bit about that, put things in perspective here in the D.C. area. They wanted to quarantine me for 14 days with the vaccine, and then it was changed to 10 days, and there was no automatic eligibility during the COVID, and there were 5 people riding in the same bus, on the paratransit bus, and they made me get off. Once the vehicle crossed the county line, they made me transfer onto another bus at the laundromat. No place to sit down, nothing. And I had to wait for 45 minutes. So all I want to say here is thank you. Thank you very much. And Metro came through. The eligibility department got my letter over to them very, very quickly, despite the COVID. So all I have is congratulations. Thank you for the great job that you're doing during COVID, especially.
So Barbara, that sounds like the state of Pennsylvania, only because that is the only state I experienced where they make you get off a paratransit vehicle and transfer to another. I know they do that in Pittsburgh, and I know they do that in Philadelphia when you're crossing from the city into one of the 4 other counties it serves. That does that level of transfer between paratransit vehicles. Yes, they do that.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Chairman. Would you like to put that on the agenda for discussion in the future?
No, of course not. No. The reason when I heard her say that, I was like, this was years ago. I in the state of Pennsylsylvania, they do that.
I got you.
They do that.
I just want to say one thing real quick, just real quick. And I thank Barbara Melville for that testimony. I just found it ironic 2 weeks ago because, see, a lot of what we're doing here, again, I'm a businessman and I run paratransit as a business, but with a compassionate and accommodation pathways to meet my bottom line. But one of the reasons we don't have to, you took the motion and I supported the motion, but one of the reasons I could promise the customers in D.C., 30 days notice before we go to shared rides. One of the reasons I can promise customers or make arrangements for customers who are either positive or suspected of having COVID to be completely off of our paratransit is because me, my team, and the contractors work together and plan these things out. And I just found it ironic that 2 weeks ago, you know, after this whole year of hearing how wonderful and great New York is, and I'm not picking on nobody, but all I kept hearing, New York this and New York that. By the way, New York's on-time performance is measured by 30 minutes after your pickup time, twice out. Mm-hmm. You know, hearing how wonderful New York is, we had to pass a motion to make sure Metro didn't do to our customers what New York just did to theirs. Now, as Marvin Gaye would say, ain't that peculiar? But, you know, all I'm going to say is we are all working together to give you an efficient, safe, but a sustainable paratransit service that meets our ADA requirements. But I appreciate that testimony by Barbara. And I just say we're going to continue to work together, continue to plan out so that we don't have to pop any surprises on you all. And you keep giving us your feedback from your personal experience and from what you hear from other customers and people with disabilities, and we're going to make this all work out. But I'm done for today. Thank you for your time.
All right. Ms. Rush, you go ahead next, followed by Mr. Torres. Everyone, 3 minutes, please. Go ahead, Ms. Rush. It's your public comment time.
Okay, Denise Rush. I want to know what's on record, because I'm not clear with it or a little confused. When we have new members who apply for the AAC, what is the procedure? Because I thought that someone from the AAC would be interviewing the people and we would ask questions and make comments about being on the AAC. We have two members, new members, who interviewed them from the AAC.
So, Mr. Blake, I think, and yes, what we're hearing is that in the past, particularly not for people who re-up like me, but for new members who's new to the committee, they use in normal years, before COVID, they involved us to be part of that selection, like we did with the Access for All, selection in terms of giving feedback. And we just wanted to kind of find out your thinking in this process.
Okay, so, and Ms. Rush, you're right. In my tenure, as you know, I've got to say it on the record, I didn't turn it over to the AAC members, but I certainly gave you all almost carte blanche as to the selection process, and we would affirm your decision. In this case, Mr. Mangrum, if I'm not mistaken, I knew you have to correct me because, you know, I'm not an ADAP anymore, I always say, but Mr. Mangrum is replacing a member who resigned, correct? So when we do that, yes. So in that case, there is no new interview process. We look at applications of past applicants who showed interest, and we also look at those specific disabilities. And Mr. Mangrum is a person who uses a mobility device. I don't think he would mind me saying he's a larger person. So that's a particular, okay, I see you laughing, but that is something that we're taking into consideration. Now the new members.
Hold on, one person at a time. Let Mr. Blake go first, and then we're gonna let people respond because we got interpreters here, please.
And forwarded those resumes to the leadership, to Ms. Rush, mm-hmm, Mr. Simmelford, and to Mr. Sheehan, and ask them for comments and ask them if they would like to interview the candidates, as we did for Ms. Fisher. And so these were replacements for empty slots in the jurisdictions. And so we did follow our normal procedure, and they were all asked, and nobody responded.
I concur. I mean, that's so. I knew if you have anything else you want to add, I'll hush up at this point. But Ms. Rush, yes, I mean, the replacement process plus COVID, this was not the most normal year but we did want to fill those positions because we believe they are very important. But as we come out of the COVID and next year we'll be going through a process again, I think we'll be back to the more normal process.
Well, I may have received them. I'm not going to say I haven't, but with the computer at home, I haven't been very successful in receiving a lot of things, but I didn't receive a request or I didn't read it. So that's why I'm asking, what was the procedure? And you're saying you sent me an application? Is that what you're saying?
Well, Phil? Anew would have sent it, or somebody. Is Anew still there? Did you run from him? She bless you. She's taking a sneeze. Bless you.
Yes, Anew sent them out. And the typical process was the advertisements, and we advertised. We requested all of the members of the committee if they wanted to nominate somebody or ask them to apply. And everything that came in from the committee and responses to the advertisements that went out, Anew sent out the resumes of the applications, which we shared with the leadership.
I apologize. I was choking on a sip of water I had, so please bear with me.
Go ahead. Just, Anew's still.
But did we answer Ms. Rush's question? Are you satisfied at this point, Ms. Rush?
No, because I there's nothing I can do about it now. I just, no, I'm not, but
yes,
I'll go from here.
Okay, we'll follow up with you on this. So we'll apologize if there was any confusion or you know, we'll follow up with you.
Thank you.
Yes, all right. We're going to take Ansel Torres and then Doris Ray for public comment.
Okay. So you guys have just made my case about why I say the AAC is an echo chamber. Because what I'm noticing recently is that finally the public get a chance to speak. And their time, public comment time, is being taken up by AAC members. Now, AAC members have a right to speak too, but can you at least give us our public comment space so that we can comment ahead of everybody? I don't think that's asking too much. Regarding the paying on the sidewalk issue, the disabled community at this AAC is and the supposed people who advise you on paying on the sidewalk, as the only minority group or disadvantaged group in this country that seems to ask for its ox to be gored, that asks for its own execution. Disabled profiling is essentially what you're doing when you're asking disabled people to pay on the sidewalk and everybody else, regardless of what community they come from, that essentially get on the bus and don't pay. Nobody's asking those folks who don't pay on public transportation that they need to pay on sidewalk. Why don't you go try asking them to do that? Why don't you go to the bus rail committee and tell them, you know, hey, get the bus rail committee to say, oh, people should now pay on the sidewalk. Okay, so I don't care if it is the Supreme Court that says that disabled profiling is appropriate. It will never be appropriate, okay? I don't care which disabled authority in this country that says disabled profiling is appropriate, no more than racial profiling is appropriate. And if you guys don't get on, if you don't yet understand that, then you really have a serious problem in running this in running this committee. I'm extremely disappointed by all of this that I'm hearing. I know there are people, I mean, Mr. Blake is implying that I am using negative energy. Well, I think anytime somebody says something that you don't like, you know, the other guy always thinks it's negative energy. I am engaging in advocacy. You may not like it, but it's very positive energy because it has always gotten me the desired results that I've been looking for. Okay, there's no guarantee anytime that any results are going to be granted, but it has worked. The other thing that I want to mention has to do with what Mr. Blake is saying about my requirement that AAC puts forth. I'm not expecting, and I've said that to him explicitly, so I don't know why he's muddying up the waters with what I'm saying. I said, I wrote explicitly to him and said, I do not expect every disabled person to be able to ride on the sedans. I don't expect it. But if the AAC committee says, we want 90 degree, and they gave us 45 degree, and they took it out, and they promised us that we were going to get not the exact vehicle that we requested, but the specifications of the vehicle that we tested. Okay, and then you turn around in the middle of that negotiation and pull out the rug from under us. Then we have been deceived, and we weren't even given a proper explanation, a detailed explanation as to why that had to happen. I don't know any organization that serves the disabled that looks for justifications to deny disabled people things, especially something as basic and simple as a 90-degree door. That ain't asking for much, okay? And it would not have cost WMATA millions upon millions of dollars to make that possible for us, okay? And it has nothing to do with me shrinking in or not being able to fit into to taxis or Ubers that are Camrys. For whatever reason, that Camry is undersized, okay? Standards of vehicles don't remain the same from year to year, all right? And whenever I've had problems in those Uber vehicles or taxis, I simply ask them to sit in front, and that's what I do, and that's how I complete the ride. Thank you very much. As much more I have to say as usual, it will be put in writing. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Doris? You may speak.
Hi. I wanted to say first that possibly the AAC might want to consider the Metro Access Subcommittee making public comment sacrosanct for the public and Metro Access wait a minute. Let me finish.
No. That was someone that they already silenced their mic. Sorry, Doris. Go ahead.
Okay. Making the public comment period sacrosanct, and that if we ever do go, it's always behind. And or even officially switching from one agenda item to the other. The reason I say that is recalling, and perhaps Pat Sheehan will recall this, when this was all discussed in very important regional meetings that were held that led to the Metro Access Subcommittee, at least some of the elected officials, the chairman of the WMATA board at the time, Dana Kaufman from Fairfax County, wanted to see the time for that half an hour to be sacrosanct. And I, recognition of the committee and its wonderful chair, because you are a wonderful chair, just like Barbara said, I believe that he does try to do that, but perhaps we should think about, you know, just making sure it's an item in which we have other opportunities to speak and the public only speak. And then the other thing is, on behalf of the public, my colleagues, my consumers, my friends who live in Loudoun County, I hope that we will have some pre-discussion as we approach opening up Metro Access to and Metro Rail services and Metro Access to Loudoun County folks, that we have a discussion with them by whatever means, you know, virtual or in person, about what they would like to see happen so they can get back and forth across the border. Because every day, Loudoun County residents who don't have disabilities or who don't need to use ADA paratransit come back and forth at least before the pandemic, at any rate, to go to work inside the current metro service area. And we need to make sure that our soon to be colleagues in Loudoun County get that opportunity too. So thank you.
So Doris, just a follow-up question. What I think I hear you're saying is once we expand into a service area into Loudoun County, that maybe there should be some coordination with the paratransit that services that area as a hub point, maybe at those two metro stations where if people qualify, be able to switch from one paratransit to another so they can go about the region? Is that what you're saying? I think you're possibly saying?
Yeah, I think we need to discuss we also need to discuss, though, whether if somebody is coming within the 3/4 mile, at minimum, within the 3/4 mile radius of those metro stations, or 3/4 mile of any, if we're partnering with Loudoun Transit for their bus, you know, the connections to their buses, then we have to find out from them, perhaps somebody who is, I'm just going to give a locality as an example that's close on the border, Sterling. It might be a 5-minute ride or a 10-minute ride, or, you know, very close to get across the border to a doctor or a grocery store, because, you know, the people in Ashburn and Sterling and those places, you know, that's right next door to them, except they don't have the public sidewalks and very, very, all the kinds of infrastructure and accessibility that people, that are the very reason, some of the very reasons that people ride Metro Access. And they've been waiting for a very long time.
Thank you for your feedback. Thank you. All right. Any other comments before we possibly adjourn, because we're gone in August? That is of grave importance to committee members here. Having seen none, does anyone want to take a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays.
Aye.
Okay, we've taken it. Aye.
Trouble.
All right, we are adjourned.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone.
Good summer, everybody. But we may, again, as Dr. Posner said, we may meet one more time in August, but we'll see. But we'll... if not, have a great summer. We'll see you. We'll talk with you in September.
As I remember, help hook me up with Mr. Blake and Donnie Bush.
Lucius, can you write my phone number down?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.